Hi, I'm Bill Corcoran Jr., and I'm your host for the On the Stacks podcast. Today, I'm chatting with Jim Broda from Revenax Appliance. Welcome to the On the Stacks podcast, Jim. We're here in the studio. We just took some excellent photos. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
So before we get started, I just want to mention in these photos that that are posted, everyone's looking at these photos. I have to mention that there is obviously a mini fridge in the photos, and I just want to acknowledge Jim for donating this wonderful mini fridge.
Just a housewarming gift.
Yeah, studio warming gift, as they call it.
Yes.
So thank you for that, Jim. Really appreciate it. Yep. It's definitely going to go to great use in here. All future guests are going to be reaching into the Revenax mini fridge in the studio. So thank you. So let's take it back to the beginning. Who are you? What's your story? How did you get started? There's a big history of how you got started in appliances.
There is. So starting at an early age, I am now 41 years old. In my early 20s, just about 20, turning 21, I started delivering appliances for a local distributor that would sell to our local independent appliance dealers around the area, from Kingston to Hazleton, Wilkes-Barre, all the way up the line. And I actually did some out-of-state deliveries, too, to other appliance stores. So, in and out of these stores, we had a great handful of customers. I would say maybe 100 customers we had. In the background gave me a little knowledge of store setup, presentation, cleanliness, service, because I was always the guy in the back dropping appliances off here and hearing the customers and, talking to the salespeople in between deliveries. So 20 years old, I started delivering appliances. Took me till about the age of 25, at which point I end up delivering to my future ownership of Revenax. Walked in the door, dropped off the guy's appliances, and I nonchalantly mentioned that I want to buy Revenax appliance, which I kind of got a chuckle out of the guy. His name was Tom. I won't disclose his last name. Great guy, family man, banker. He kind of chuckled a little bit and said, appliances are in the back, right? I said, yeah, but let's sit down and talk. And I knew he wanted to retire. He shortened his hours. Some days he wasn't even open. Business dragged. The name faded to the background, almost inexistent to the marketplace, So. He was looking to get out, and it was a good deal. He offered it actually to some competitors of mine at the time for what he had on his floor, which was probably about $28,000 in inventory.
And what year was this?
2004. Okay. 2004. It was 2004 when I went in there, and in June 3rd of 2004, we struck a deal. A couple weeks previous, I had to work on some financing because I was a little short on money. I just built a new house for myself.
Can we kind of talk about that?
And, yeah, sure.
Yeah, if you don't mind, because you told me a little bit of background before we started, yeah. And I know you also dropped out of college at one point.
I did.
I think there's a really good story.
A couple times I dropped out.
Oh, good. Yeah, tell that story because I think it's okay. Real important just to put everything in perspective leading up to you purchasing Revenax.
Okay, so it really starts in my high school days. My father really was a warehouse manager. My mom was a stay-home mom, and we had three kids. There was a brother and a sister, so three of us. I always wanted to do better. I always envisioned things. So I envisioned what I always wanted. I wanted money. I wanted a nice house. I wanted a car, and I wanted to get these things. So I did whatever it took to save money. So in high school, after getting my license, I turned 16. I actually, I worked two jobs in high school. So I worked second shift and I worked third shift. I slept basically during the week 2 hours a night.
Wow.
I worked at RPS, which I think they were bought out by FedEx now. But I unloaded tractor trailers, so I'd get up about 1:30 in the morning. The shop that I worked at was about 10 minutes away. So I actually went in for 2 o'clock, left there 7:15, came home, showered. My parents were very supportive at the time, and got showered, changed, high school for 7:45. Out of high school at 2:45, came home, slept for an hour, went to work again for 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Then I did the 4 to 11 shift. You know, I'm very dependable. I'm a very dependable guy. There's nothing that will stop me from getting to a job. Like, I don't have any excuses. If you came to my house and looked at my old-fashioned dictionary, that page is ripped out and thrown away. There's no excuses. I could have my legs broken, and I will be at your place working. That was my theory. I want to be a good worker. I want to prove to people I'm dependable. So I did that, and they actually gave me a pay raise to $10 an hour in high school. And they started giving me college tuition because I never missed a day. They said you could start saving it for when you do go to college. And I don't know how child labor laws didn't kick in.
I was going to say, this is...
But it gets better because that was my weekday. So on the weekend, I figured they're not open, but there's hours in the day I can work. I got to get working. So I worked at a grocery store. I worked at Insulacos, which was on the Pittston Bypass. And I always took the morning shift, 6 to 2, Saturday and Sunday, because everybody called off. Either high school kids drinking or the college kids that didn't make it in. And I was the guy who picked up the shift, no matter where it was. Dairy, produce, whatever it took, I did it. So I worked about 12 hours a day on Saturday and Sunday. Left high school with about $42,000 in cash saved up. My car paid for. Started going to college. General classes for a year and a half. Didn't know where I wanted to be. 20 years old, I started buying real estate. So at 20 years old, I bought 3 houses. And I bought another business, which is in Kingston, which I still run as of today. That's 21 years now that I have that business and I have my houses, my real estate that I run. I figured I'd go back to college after I dropped out at one point. Went back, took some of my biology classes, my anatomy classes, 1, 2.
What were you majoring? What were you going to school for? What were the big hopes and dreams at college?
Big hopes and dreams were respiratory therapist. Anything with a therapist on the end of it, I would assume that it was a very good paying job, occupational or physical therapist. I never did research on anything I did between buying real estate, buying my other business, college. I just
learned the hard way.
Learned the hard way, and. So I ended up dropping out again, got all Fs, and I wanted to go back, but my businesses were overtaking me, and I started working more hours delivering appliances. I said, I'm going to give it one more shot. I went back, I'm going to become this therapist. So I went back, and I got all my classes straight A's, because I had to be the top 18 kids that LCC will take for this program. Top GPA, I got it. Within 1 year, I got it, got accepted. I go into the... acceptance room with the 17 other students, and I asked them, where are you guys looking to be in the future? And they started telling me that what they were hoping to make, and I just wasn't happy with that.
And at this time in your life, were making $10 an hour.
$10 an hour,
cash.
And they were giving me hopes and dreams of after getting out of school for 2 years all around, year round, it's a 2-year program where you go year round, making $8 an hour.
So a $2 hour pay cut.
Pay cut and go to school for 2 more years. And
on top of the first two?
On top of the first two, yeah.
Okay.
So I says, you know what? This is it. I said, I got to figure this out. I'm looking around, I could feel the sweats coming on. I think I messed up.
I'm sweating.
Yeah, I think I messed up. So teacher comes in and says, hey, congratulations. Any questions before we start? And I'm thinking the people next to me, they just don't know what they're talking about. So I raise my hand and I says, yeah, I got a question. And he says, well, what's your question? I says, well, just stupidly, I didn't really look into this, but what do they make? And he says, well, they make about $8.50 an hour. And if you go to Danville, Geisinger, it's probably about $8.75. And he says, any more questions? And I said, no, but I just want to hand in my application. So I did all that work. I got straight A's, chemistry, anatomy 1, anatomy 2. I did all the classes. And I handed in my application. I said, give somebody else the opportunity. It's just not for me. Never went back to college.
And this is where Rebinex comes in.
Yeah. So I plotted out. I kept delivering for about 2 years, 20, okay. 23, 24. 24, I ended up building a house for myself, which I live in today. Which consumed a lot of my money. It was a little bit out of my league at the time. So, but I did it. I swung the payments, and 25 comes and I buy Ravenax. So I started Ravenax with my mortgage payment. And actually, it was about half of my mortgage payment. And I worked out a deal with the owner on the equipment and the name, to get the franchises and the merchandise. So we set up a payment plan. At this point, he's desperate. He wanted to get out. And if somebody would just pay him for his merchandise, that's all he wanted. Backing this up about 2 or 3 months, he went to one of our competitors and asked them to buy them out. And they laughed at him and said, we'll just wait for you to go out of business. So that $30,000 mistake costed some of my competitors around $3 million a year in sales.
For the last how many years?
Last 16 years. But it wasn't always $3 million. When I started, we were roughly around $200,000 a year in sales. Old equipment, old products, old trucks, old building. And we changed that around year after year. Hard work, long hours, advertising, on and on. Now, 16 years later, we're on a steady $3 million a year in sales.
So how did you do that?
Oh,
that's a long question.
It is. I'll give you a short answer to that. Focus on yourself. Don't worry about your competitors. I never mattered to me what my competitors were doing, except for pricing. You know, I knew if we gave people what I would want, as being a smarter individual in business for so long in other businesses, give them what they want, competitive pricing, and be there and talk to the people. They could come in and talk to me. They could talk to the owner 7 days a week. So don't focus on the competitors. Focus on yourself. That's the bottom line. And we outlasted at the time when I used my mortgage payment. We had a lot going on. We had to come in from every angle. We had Lowe's moving in Edwardsville. We had 11 or 12 other stores. You got to remember, you had Grand Central, which they came down the mountain there in Wilkes-Barre. We had Rex. We had Biters. We had Richards Appliance, Pittston Appliance, Feinberg, Electron.
And then the big
Sears, Sears Outlet, Biters. All these places came, 12, 13 places, and they're all gone. So as our business was growing, we were building up our cash to put back into the business. These people were going. They're leaving. So we got to the point where one of my views in business is we own everything we have. We don't do floor planning. We own our buildings. We own our trucks. We have our own delivery guys. We own all of our inventory. So when you come in, when I took that loan for, the loan and the terms with the previous owner to buy the old merchandise, it was about 28,000. Now you walk in our showroom, between our showroom and our inventory, we have probably $200,000 on display in product, and we own it all outright. So we don't have to worry about floor planning. We don't have to worry about financing. We're able to cut prices because we don't have to pay interest. We own everything.
You're financing yourself, basically.
We're our own bank. And that's one of the reasons why I think we're still in business. So it comes in, we pay for it. It's ours. So that was 25, working through 30, 35, 40, 41, we're here. And we built it up to where the one of two independent stores in the valley.
Left. So all the other guys are out of business. And now, besides, one other competitor, you have the big box stores, which brings up, my next question. How do you compete with the Lowe's and the Home Depot's of the world?
So when they moved in, we were just starting. When they moved to Edwardsville, it had to be probably 13 years ago, maybe now. We get word that Lowe's is moving down the road. In the beginning, I want to say I never worried about competitors. Somebody's going to come to me. We don't need to sell much to keep the doors open. We just got to get the name out there. Lowe's and Home Depot were almost at a cutthroat when there was a lot of independent stores. Now it's not just appliances. It's hardware. It's lumber. It's electrical. It's faucets. So when these little stores were in business, Lowe's came in. They did cutthroat. And they got them out of business. Lowe's, they're not, we can be competitive any day. There's not one day we can't beat their price as long as we sell that product. Guarantee. So if you come in our store, we're saving you $50, $100 on a piece. We don't charge you for removal. A lot of stores have that when you go on their site and you click an order. There's a $30 fee. So if you buy five appliances, kitchen appliances, you know, you're $150 before extra fees that you didn't know about till you got to the register. So we have no problem beating their prices. We guarantee that. In fact, when you come in our showroom and you're looking for a specific model, first thing I do, I go right on Lowe's.com. Usually comes up Edwardsville or Home Depot, whatever you wherever you shop. There's their price, and we beat it. Down deal. That's it.
Every time.
Yeah, every time. There's not one time we have to send you out of the store and say, we can't do that, sir or ma'am. So it's just a guarantee. And our name's out there. We have a lot of contractors. We have cabinet people. We made a good reputation with the home builders that if they call us, they have a question, they need installation problems. You know, we're on cue.
So you guys are really more than just an appliance store.
Oh, yeah. We know this stuff backwards. So there's no TVs on our wall. There's no lumber in aisle eight or doors in the back by the insulation. We're just appliances. That's it. 7 days a week, $3 million a year. We know our stuff. We tell you the good, the bad. We're in multi-million dollar buying groups. You have to be in a buying group now to stay in business. That's how you get the prices. So we joined these groups. We've been in them 13 years when we really got into it, into the buying group, after I got my feet on the ground. That's where we get a lot of our deals. So we join these groups. They're across the country. Everybody's in a buying group now, or you wouldn't be in business.
Okay.
Which is pretty neat, because then we get all like direct savings right from the manufacturer through rebates, extra rebates, stuff that we could pass along. Keeps us extremely competitive.
That's interesting. Yeah. Very interesting. So what are some of the brands you carry?
So our brands, in fact, when you come in our store, everything we try to gear towards being made in the United States. About 90% of our store is manufactured in the United States. Whirlpool said, hey, we got to bring stuff back. The lag on time getting product through customs, we can't have it. We're losing sales. So they are going into these deprived areas, as they would call them, tax incentive areas, and putting up warehouses that are like astronomical in size all around the country, where they can get, you know, 10-year tax deferred. So a lot of the stuff is being manufactured in Iowa, in Georgia, in Tennessee, and it comes to us direct, you know, right from the manufacturer.
That's very interesting. I never knew such a thing existed.
Yeah, so like I said, 90% of our store, there's some things that you can't make. Microwaves are still, unfortunately, in China. You know, dehumidifiers, little stuff is still made overseas. It doesn't pay for these companies to make them here. That's not their gig. Their gig is making washers, ranges, dishwashers in the United States, bringing jobs back, keeping the money in the country.
That's a good
even
thing.
Down to our carpet on our floor is made in the United States.
That's great.
I found that out when I seen the box the other day.
Wow, very cool. So what, you know, you mentioned some contractors before, but who is an ideal customer for you? Obviously, it's more than one type of person, so maybe just take me through a couple different scenarios.
So we cater to everybody. If you're looking for a deal, you want to save money, 200 appliances on display, we can cater to a customer who comes in that's looking for a $399 refrigerator, or the customer that comes in that's looking for $11,000 $999 refrigerator.
That's an expensive refrigerator.
Yeah, 4 foot wide refrigerator. So we have them on display. We display everything from, you know, custom built-ins to custom ranges, like 4 foot ranges with griddles, down to your $399 if you want just a basic entry level. We can do all that. Even at $399, we deliver for free, remove for free, no hidden charges on those. And once again, beating all the competitor. So we could hit every aspect. The bulk of our clientele seems to be like mid-range to high range. That's where we see the most of our foot traffic.
Okay. What would you say, who or what, you know, whether it's a specific person or not, who or what contributes to your success?
I think all the voices in my head. No.
I mean, you know, your story going back to you you know, working really hard in high school and in college. I mean, that's an incredible work ethic that just does not exist today.
Yeah, and if I could apply that, take that and apply it while I'm still young, you know, today I don't, of course, I don't work that hard as I used to. You know, the there's days I worked 18, 20 hours a day. That I probably don't have in me, but we're at the point where I don't need to. We hired professionals that could handle when I step away to refresh. I got it up and running. I took it from the ground, out of the ground, brought it up. We're the last survivors. Hard work really got me through. I'm glad I did it when I'm younger, in my 20s. And, you know, the last 16 years, I'm starting to, we're fortunate to have professionals that will come in and they're on the level I'm at. You could ask them any questions. They're right on cue. So I could step away a little bit.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what would you say motivates you? What's your biggest motivator?
When I was younger, it was money. But, you know, when I started to turn, after the business really started to pick up, I don't think it was an aspect of money. I think the money went back into the background, and I think it was a competitiveness. I dare you to make me go out of business, or I'd do anything to stay in business at that point. Like there was times years ago, like when the big stores and there was 12 other competitors in our area, you know, if I had to, I would sell stuff at a loss just to keep you in my door. You know, and I've done it. I've done it many and many times. But I think it turned from money to competitiveness, and I think that's my drive.
You know? That's great.
It's great. It's crazy. Most people would want to just keep making money and money. I mean, we're very fortunate in that aspect, selling $3 million a year. But it's now competitiveness. It's just that's where I'm at.
And what would you say would be your favorite or least favorite part of being a business owner?
That's
a tough one.
It is. I can't really say there is a favorite because I mix the good and I mix the bad. In every business, there's always a good and there's always a bad. You know, some owners will complain about this or that. But, you know, at the end of the day, you do the wash and it balances out. And I don't think there's a bad. I think the good actually overweighs just freedom and
just being your own boss.
Yeah, I have some great views in starting businesses. I took a lot of businesses. I took real estate. A lot of stuff I bought was ran into the ground, and I turned them into successful businesses. And they're not just short term or failing. I mean, they're still growing. So I take these business ideas, which I don't know where I really get them from. I don't know. I honestly don't know where I get the ideas, but you know, I just keep them going, and it's somehow that I keep pulling a rabbit out of the hat, and it's working. So
kind of along those lines, back to you know that topic. What you know, being that you run a few different successful businesses, mm-hmm. what advice could you give anyone starting out in business? You know, you've obviously had a lot of trying times in your life, and you've just scraped by, you know, week by week, and you've made a great success out of yourself. So what, you know, it doesn't even have to be somebody starting an appliance store, which I'm sure is very difficult nowadays, but just in general, like if anyone were, you know, a young guy, think back to when you were 16, 17, 18 years old, and you wanted to, you know, start your own business, make something yourself. What advice could you give someone?
Well, it's funny I should ask that. One of my neighbors is a psychologist, and she opened her own psychology studio. And I can see she's nervous. She's probably in my age group and just starting. And I'm thinking, you know, she's nervous how she's going to pay the bills or this or that, or if it's going to take off when she was starting. And I said, I've been there, you know, and if I could look back, I probably wouldn't have worried as much as I worried. If you just put your head down and focus, do your thing, it'll take off. So if I knew what I knew now, how the business would have went, I wouldn't have stressed over minute things. Cause I'm a big fan of micromanaging things. It's my business. I like to be there. I like to oversee things. And I deal with a lot of business owners and lawyers and that I'm friends with and doctors. And they say, you shouldn't micromanage so much. But you know, it's just who I am. It worked. It's still working. And maybe the day it doesn't work, I'll take some advice at that point. But
is there anyone that's been an influence in your life, whether it's just in business or personally, anyone that you want to maybe give a little shout out to for maybe helping you along the way?
There is. So the previous owner of Richards Appliance, Mike Plagazzi, which a very nice businessman. He's still in business. He's the one who told me to start buying real estate at 20 because I used to deliver his appliances. So I'd pull up, and the one day I said to him, I want to buy a house. And he said, you're 20 years old. What do you want to buy a house for? He says, you're in college. He says, I'm going to tell you what to do. If you really want to move out of your parents' house or buy a house, he says, buy a double block. He goes, buy the double block, rent one half, live in the other half. He says, you're in college, you're in and out of ideas. You're going to strap yourself. He said, at least you can live for free. So that was when I was 20. I remember going there. It was like, it was probably like February. It was a you know, winter morning, dropped off his appliances. So I was 20. That's when I bought three houses. And he couldn't believe every time I'm going back in, I'm telling him, I got another house. And then he, at 22, there was another business that he was aware of that was for sale that I bought that he led me on to. And he called his friend who actually owned it. And that was one of the reasons why they let some stuff slide. We did like a lease to own with payments because at that time that's how it made it affordable. He's the one who told me to buy RavenX.
Yeah, that is interesting.
And, you know, I went into RavenX and... we had no business the first, week, two. I remember going in the first day to work. First day.
After you bought it.
After I bought it.
Showed up and you're like, I'm going to sell a million appliances today. On my
first nobody
day.
Comes in. I had one guy come in for a used refrigerator for $100, but I don't think he even bought it. So lunchtime comes around and, you know, I'm so tight on where I'm at with money, the house, my real estate, my other business. I remember going, I said to my sales guy, who was at the time was a part-time sales guy, I said to him, I'm going to go to lunch, which I didn't go to lunch. I needed time. So I got in my car. I drove for 20 minutes around Kingston. I call him up. I finally get him on the phone. I called him. He didn't answer. Gave him 5-10 minutes. Call him back. I said, Mike, how do I get my money back? That was my opening line.
Wow.
And he's like, he says, you're there now, right? He says, yeah, it's my first day. This ain't working. I said, I have delivery guys standing here. I have a sales guy. I have loans. I said, how do I get my money back? Because I gave him some money down. I said, how do I get my money back? And he says, listen, you could always go back and get another delivery job. He goes, you're not going to always go back and get a franchise dirt cheap. He said, stick it out, work it. If it doesn't work in a year or two, go get another delivery job. And so he was my mentor for everything. He got me into real estate. He got me into my other business. He got me into RavenX. In fact, I still talk to him today. So he's at his businesses usually like 3:30, 4 in the morning. And there's many a mornings I would stop down before I'd go to mine for an hour and talk to him about business, life, family, how to grow up, I guess he taught me. And took his advice, and here I am. So that's who it would be. It would be Mike.
So you followed his advice, This leads me to my next little fact I want to throw out there that, obviously RavenX is very successful now at this point. You're doing $3 million in sales, and RavenX is the oldest appliance store in all of Luzerne County, and this is the 86th year that RavenX has been in business.
It is. So going back with Al RavenX and Al Covert, who was a co-owner at the time before the RavenX bought them out, this goes back to 1934 when they actually sold Ringer washers, paint, water heaters, anything, radios, stuff that, you know, it's crazy.
Stuff that really doesn't exist today.
Mixers, irons. I have pictures. If you come into our showroom, I have these really neat photos of all the stuff if you folks want to see them. But 1934 was our, was when they started. So I'm proud to be, into the 86th year. We're, 10 more years, we'll be almost 100 years. 10, 12 years, we'll be getting up there. That's a long time.
That's very impressive. Congratulations on that, Jim.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
definitely. You. And, you know, so speaking of those next, you know, 14 years, getting to the 100th year, what's in the future for Revenax? You don't have to spoil anything, but, you know, what do you see in the future for you know, the appliance business, your world?
I'm at a point where we're content at the volume we're doing. I really don't want to expand. That may, as crazy as that might seem, because I could take my franchise anywhere and open a second store in another area or here or there. Or
so you can actually license that out.
I'd have to own it.
Okay.
Unless I sell the franchises. But we could open, if I want to open a store in Scranton, I could have a second location. I could open one Williamsport, Philadelphia, anywhere I want to go, I could open on other locations with this franchise. It legally gives me rights to open wherever I want, across from my competitors, across the street from myself, wherever I want to go. Unfortunately, I'm very content with my schedule. I'm content with our sales. I don't want to get too much bigger so we don't lose sight on taking care of people.
I think that's really important. Why don't you touch on that a little bit?
Yeah. So if I see a lot of stores that try to open 2-3 locations in the past. Of course, they're not here anymore. Like I said, I'm back to micromanaging. We're successful because people come in on a Sunday morning and they could talk to me instead of hiring a manager to just run all my locations and sit back like a ghost in the background and just collect the checks. And we do very well financially, so I'm not at the point where I need to do that. And I've had numerous offers to get bought out, and the people had ideas of doing that.
Of expanding.
Yeah, because they just wanted my... I actually had a couple offers this year. It was a lot. One was around 7 figures.
Wow.
And I unfortunately had to tell them no. Just not my time. But I'm sure there'll be opportunity down the road. I don't think I would be, doing anything different than I am. I'm happy with, we very rarely advertise. Very rarely we see ads on Facebook or sometimes in a newspaper because we're forced to spend some money or we lose it and then our reps get mad at us. And then, you know, so we have to do some ads and that's probably where I like to hit, you know, the 40, 50-year-olds. I don't think to kids anymore. I'm saying kids, and I'm 40. The 20-year-olds, millennials, read the newspaper. But I'm the old-fashioned guy. I would rather open the newspaper up and read it. In fact, it's funny. My one friend, one of my lawyer friends, said the same thing. He says, you know, I'm Brian Price. He's a good friend of mine from DLP, personal friends. And he says, you know, you call me crazy, but I like to open the newspaper. He goes, that's just who I am. I said, you know, me too. He's like, you know, you're a lot younger than me. And he says, you know, you're open. I said, yeah, I'd rather open the newspaper. But so we're not really doing a lot of advertising because we're where we're at. We're content. And we're still getting a lot more word of mouth. So our business is still growing. So we tend to, a business owner in the past told me this. And I don't know if it's, you know, something that pertains to me or if I'm just maybe out shooting our success. But when people advertise, that's when they're slow. So if you're busy and you can't keep up with your business, why would you throw thousands of dollars away in advertising to get customers through the door that you can't take care of? So when you're, you know, if we were slow, I think we would advertise more or advertise at all. But we're at the point where we don't really advertise. So we're going to keep it the same, keep the flow going. We're happy with that sale amount.
That's great, though. I think that's great that you're able to be comfortable where you're at right now with your business to the point that you don't need to expand and you're very happy with the business that you have, the clientele that you have, and you're able to offer that great level of customer service, personal service. Yep. Someone walks into Revenax any day, they can see you. I think that's a really great thing.
Yeah, and you know, you're greeted as soon as you walk in the door. You're not waiting around or somebody's on their cell phone. Or we try to, being a small business, presentation means a lot in business. So that was one of the things I always felt made a difference. we're competing against national chains that you go in. They're bright, big, new stores, shiny. We had to compete on that. So we need a clean store. We need clean, lined up straight appliances. We need tagged appliances so you know what you are looking at in case you want. You don't want our help. You just want to look on your own. You don't need to come and ask us for every price. So perception means a lot too. And I think we took that to a good level that, you know, you come in our store, our sales guys aren't on their cell phones talking or somebody's ignoring you because they're, you know, smoking or on a lunch break. You know, we're there. And, you know, we try to keep it professional. We dress professional. We're very knowledgeable. This is all we do. So even with service, if you need service, 7 days a week, you can call us. We're in the shop Sunday mornings. We're open at 8. We're open 7 days a week. You know, Sunday, it's very common, 8, 8:30 in the morning, people are coming in. Their fridge died overnight. Lowe's and Home Depot don't have it in stock, 3 weeks.
I don't even think they're open that early on the weekend.
No, Sunday. Yeah, I think Sunday they move their hours to 8. So okay. During the week, we're technically on the signs as 8. Our store lights are on at 7:15, 7:10. People going to work, stop in, their fridge died, their washer died. Could they get it when they get home? Most likely, yes. We stock probably 100 to 200 pieces, plus our 200 piece on our floor. So yeah, we very helping to get people. Like, you know, a lot of times, lady will come in, an older lady will come in. My medicine's in the fridge. I need a fridge. We're getting that fridge to you.
That's great. So speaking of the store, for all of our listeners, where is the store? Where can people find you? Where are you located?
Okay, so we are 269 Wyoming Ave in Kingston. A good landmark is right across from Kiefer's Army and Navy. They've been there forever. Great people, great owners, friends of ours. Near Kingston Corners, we have parking on the street. We have parking in the back of our building. We have a driveway you can pull to the back so you don't have to get out onto Wyoming Ave. Handicap accessible, bright, clean store, easy to find, heart of Kingston.
That's great. So, where else can people find you? You guys, I'm sure, have a website.
We do. So we have a website. Unfortunately, we don't advertise a lot of price on the website.
But people can at least go on and browse.
They can browse. They can pick appliances. Once you pick something, call us. Prices change in this industry so much. It's a 3-day, 4-day turnaround on pricing. We don't have the staff to keep changing prices online all the time there's got to be 500 appliances. So we put the product, we put all the information, specifications. Give us a call because we would rather talk to you personally too. So if you called me and said, I need a fridge, I see this fridge on your website, we're going to talk you through that. So there's more than you just buying that fridge. You need to know the specs. You need to know, is it going to fit through your doorways? Some people need a handicap ADA compliant fridge. So there's a lot of things that we'd rather talk to you instead of just looking at a price. And like I said, once again, when you do call us, we'll give you that price and we'll beat the Home Depot's, the Lowe's. We beat all competitors hands down.
So I think we're almost going to get ready to wrap it up here. But before we do, I just want to give you one last opportunity, just in case there's something I didn't ask you, in case there's maybe something I missed that you wanted to mention, anything at all. If not, we'll call it a night.
No, closing statement, I would probably say, we're being the oldest appliance store, just focused on appliances. Give us a shot. Call us on the phone. You don't even have to come down if you really don't want to. If you're, a half hour away, we deliver to Shikshinny, Beaumont, Tunkhannock, all the way up to Scranton. Give us a shot. Call us on the phone. We could beat the price. We could help you make sure you get the right product that you need. And this way you're happy with the sale and it'll keep our business growing.
All right. Well, I think we're going to end it here. I just want to thank you, Jim Broda,
you
for coming in.
Yep.
And congratulations again on the 86th year in business. And I certainly wish you the best. And, maybe in 14 years, this podcast will still be going. We'll have you in here for the 100th anniversary.
I'll be here, hopefully.
Perfect. So thank you again for this wonderful fridge. It's going to be in this studio for as long as the studio exists. And I thank you again for that. That was really, really generous of you.
Just a little thank you for having me, too.
If you'd like to learn more about the On The Stacks podcast, be sure to search the hashtag On The Stacks on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. We'll catch you next time on The Stacks.